Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on this Wednesday morning. It's the 25th of May. I hope you are well. Let me introduce our panel to you, and we will get started. Alan Chartok is freed from his location. What do we call it?
What do we call it?
Undisclosed location.
Yeah. Occasionally disclosed location.
Yes, the...
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Did you get your... Okay.
Yeah.
No, okay. We're all good?
Yep.
And did you get your beverage?
No.
Oh, well, that must be coming next. Okay. Here's the question. Are you feeling better, sir?
I am.
Excellent.
And I'm sounding a little bit better.
You are.
However, I did get a nasty letter yesterday saying, you don't sound good and it's annoying me, so please get out.
I called your voice harsh.
It's uncomfortable to listen to you, Alan, when you're talking that way.
I know you, and you're right, it was, but the other way of reading that, of course, would be, oh, you know, we're worried about you. You sound bad. It would sound like it would hurt when you talk.
How long have you known me?
I know. I'm just saying.
It never hurts when you talk. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's a matter of interpretation.
Not looking at the note
Joe
as like a concern you shouldn't be talking.
Joe's case, the glass is half, you know, full.
Full.
In mine, it's definitely
the coffee cup is
three quarters empty.
And has been crushed to the ground and stomped on. Well, I'm glad you're here and feeling better, so that's good. Mike Spain is with us again. We're delighted. He is the associate editor of the Times Union. Thank you, Mike, for being back.
Happy to be here.
And Libby Post joins us, as she does each and every Wednesday, and we thank her for being here. Thank you, Libby. Good to see you, political consultant and with us. And we welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. Okay, a lot of stuff to talk about. And I think let's actually start in New York State. And we'll start there, and then we'll get to some more election stuff after the news break at the bottom of the hour. We have some stories. The New York Times has a story in the paper this morning that $1 billion went to Buffalo. And according to the New York Times investigation, Governor Cuomo, donors benefited from that project.
No.
Which is, I know.
Shocking.
Which, is certainly
gambling.
Has been part of the ongoing investigations, both by the federal prosecutor as well as the state attorney general. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. I think the New York Times story today is trying to kind of just piece it all together and tell it in a comprehensive way because it can get very confusing.
But there is some new stuff in here, right?
There is.
Yeah. So. When we look at and yes, it is confusing. Here's the first paragraph of the article. It was to be the salvation of Buffalo, $1 billion godsend from the administration of Governor Andrew Cuomo that promised to revitalize the depleted city with bold investments there and across western New York. But the so-called Buffalo billion is in danger of becoming an albatross for many involved. Federal investigators are examining how money and contracts were distributed. Delays have bruised several projects, and one of the state's key corporate partners, SolarCity, a power company backed by Elon Musk that intends to open a huge solar panel factory on the Buffalo River, has watched its stock price plunge over the last year. And the latest indication of the Buffalo billion's woes, state officials unexpectedly postponed approving an infusion of nearly $500 million for the Solar City project last week as legislators in Albany hinted they would exercise more oversight over the governor's banner economic initiative. And I just want to clarify or correct myself when I was saying about the state attorney general, because the state attorney general is investigating the dormitory authority and not this particular project, to my understanding. Mike Spain.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, it's an amazing project, this Solar City. It would be the largest solar panel factory in North America. And when it was first brokered, the deal was brokered with the state to provide $750 million towards the building of the plant. there was an agreement where they'd put in close to 1,500 jobs. It turns out, it came to light last week that perhaps it won't be 1,500 jobs right away. It may not be 1,500 jobs at the factory. But the company, SolarCity, the Elon Musk connected company, does pledge to produce 5,000 jobs all over the state. And in Buffalo, they're saying they'll stick with the 1,500. So they're sort of parsing this, whether it's going to be in 2 years or whether it's going to be a longer term to get all those jobs. That seems to be the devil in the details, so to speak. But so there is this state board that put off action on about half of it, just short of $500 million, was going to be turned over to SolarCity to help them move ahead on this project last week. And questions were raised. The governor insisted it was just a scheduling matter. And today it's supposed to come up and it's supposed to be forwarded. And that should clear the way for this project to go on. But there's a lot of individuals, it's come to light, that are being investigated by the U.S. attorney from the Southern District of New York, Preet Bharara. The subpoenas have gone out. Two individuals who have been the focus of the investigation, one of them is a gentleman from the Capital Region with close ties to the Cuomos, and he had worked for Governor Mario Cuomo and now is a lobbyist, is Todd Howe, and it seems like companies that he has represented have done very well. The New York Times story today suggests what others have suggested, and that is there may be a pay-to-play component to this.
It certainly appears to be.
The people who
gave the money got the favors.
Right. And the Times story goes on in great detail about a family in Buffalo that the whole family has given six figures to the governor's campaign, and they seem to be benefiting from some of these contracts that are going on in Buffalo. Now, it's not just the SolarCity project. It's projects all over Buffalo and the western New York area that some are medical projects, some are SUNY projects and technology projects, et cetera.
So can I mm-hmm. just want to read a paragraph from this article and then have you respond of both to journalistically what we're being told here and in reality what we're being told here. L.P. Simonelli is a prominent builder in the city, Buffalo, whose chief executive, Louis Simonelli, has generously supported Mr. Cuomo. Mr. Simonelli and his associates and relatives have given nearly $150,000 to his campaigns over the years. In 2013, Mr. Simonelli and his wife, Anne Louise, hosted a fundraiser for Mr. Cuomo in Buffalo, 3 weeks before submitting a proposal to build parts of the Buffalo Billion. The couple gave $29,200 to the governor in January 2014, shortly before L.P. Simonelli was selected as one of the winning developers.
And weren't they the winning developer, Mike, help me with this, who, when the contract was about to be awarded, there was a contract provision that you had to have been in business for 50 years?
Right, and that was
50 years?
And they said it was a typo.
And it was supposed to be 15 years.
And
they were the only company that would have qualified to bid on the project, and that was...
And then Todd Howe has connections to
right.
that company as
right.
well.
By being a consultant to them at the same time that he's...
Campaign manager to the
governor. Right.
Yeah, which was supposed to be, okay, it's okay to give me money... for a contract. Well, I'm the campaign manager because I'm not technically working for the state. I'm just the campaign manager for the governor who's going
to
win.
Well, you seem to have made some conclusions, and I think that the New York Times story, but the paragraphs that Joe read about the Simonelli family and their campaign contributions and the juxtaposition of when they got the contracts certainly would imply that there was some connection between their campaign contributions and the fact that they were able to wrest these state contracts. That's what's being investigated. Other companies that have not given to Cuomo have gotten some of the money.
So my question was going to be, how do you prove that?
Yeah, that's a good question,
you
Joe.
You can't.
Quid pro quo.
Very hard.
Exactly.
I
think the Times does what journalism does well, and that is you lay it out. You let people draw their own conclusion, like Alan just did. But really, is it criminal? Was there a, unless you have a tape or an agreement?
Right, there needs to be an app scam going on.
Right.
You know, there needs to be on
video. By the way, I resent that. We could talk about app scam some other time. That's a crime that the FBI made happen.
Yes, but there has to be a video. There has to be a tape. Yeah. There has
right,
to
but,
be
but it doesn't
yeah.
even
evidence.
Have to have a conversation. People know that if you contribute to a campaign, you get access, you get a chance to talk about your project. That can result in a favorable decision about an awarding of a contract. And that is the way Albany works. It's the way Washington works. And evidently, it's the way Buffalo works.
Well, it's disgusting.
But it's what makes public financing of campaigns so important, so that we take the money out of.
You think these people will ever stop? In other words, let's just say you're not allowed to do what's being alleged or what we're thinking might have happened here. You think that somebody's nephew or grandparents or somebody else won't get the money?
Well, I think, look, after Watergate, there was all these restrictions put on, and people found a way around it.
Exactly.
You know, 529s, the super PACs.
There's all kinds of loopholes, and we'll talk about loopholes in a little while.
What's unfortunate in all of this is when I talk to my friends up in Buffalo who work downtown, they say there's really this sense of rejuvenation and renaissance. And it's unfortunate that renaissance is being tinged by all this, because that is a city that needs help. There's no two ways about it. And the people need jobs. And it's just too bad that it's happening with this undercurrent, or maybe overcurrent, of
State investment in private development
yeah.
has been successful. We are the beneficiaries of that in the Capital Region. Back in 2006, the Pataki administration was involved in putting more than $1 billion into an investment in Saratoga County mm-hmm. For what then was called the AMD, Advanced Micro Devices Factory. It was since morphed into a $10 billion operation up there. It's produced twice as many jobs as the company had promised the state it would deliver, and there's all kinds of kickoff jobs. And I it's important for the state to invest strategically, and that's what this Solar City Factory is supposed to be. And if it ever did come to fruition, it would be an extraordinary thing for Buffalo, and it would have a ripple effect across Western New York, which, as you say, really
right.
needs it.
Right,
yeah.
And there's the medical campus is really
that's right.
also making a large impact in downtown Buffalo. So but the thing is that you
it
know
smells.
If,
it smells.
It's,
as
yes,
Alan says, you know, there's this connection between campaign contributions
right.
and people who are the beneficiaries.
Meanwhile, back yeah. in Albany.
Right. Meanwhile, back in Albany, a bill was proposed.
So
yesterday.
So we have all these problems. We're looking at the at these issues, which are just some of the issues that are certainly looking into corruption within the state, and so then a bill comes to light yesterday, and this will solve what part of the problem, Mike Spain?
Well, campaign financing.
Yes.
Governor Cuomo calls it's something known as the LLC loophole, which allows, let's say I want to give your campaign, Joe, as much, I have a couple $100,000 I want to give your campaign, but the limit for your statewide race is $50,000. I just form four little limited
right.
liability companies, and each one of them gives you $50,000. I'm the principal in all four, and I'm allowed to do it that way. And it's just an atrocity. Governor Cuomo calls it one of the most egregious flaws in our campaign finance system. But it's interesting. He's repeatedly called for the end of this, but he's also been the one who's benefited the most from it, from New York City real estate interests, which have set up LLCs to pour money into his campaigns.
It's called hypocrisy.
Well, it's a level playing field. They're all saying, we'll all stop it if we can stop it at once.
So what I find interesting about this is you got the U.S. attorney clearly zeroing in on the people around Cuomo and maybe Cuomo himself. And you have him, the governor, saying, okay, if you want to do this LLC loophole thing, just do it with me.
Right. He's offering eight different bills, sort of combinations of different races that would be affected by it. And he's trying to call the bluff of the state Senate, which has resisted LLCs. They say that it needs to be balanced with some kind of restriction on unions that can give unlimited amounts of money to campaigns.
But I like how you describe this, Mike, because it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll put this down and stop it if you put down, but you do...
Right. It's a little
okay,
game.
We're going down. Never mind.
But that's the way he always plays it.
Well, you know, our good friend Blair Horner was skeptical about it. He said today in our story by Casey Seiler, you know, that it's probably a weak argument that the Senate is making and why they don't necessarily want to go for this. But it doesn't look like something's going to happen. And this is the last few weeks before we can get any kind of campaign finance reform, ethics reform.
Forget about the LLC, because I'm going to tell you something right now. People don't really understand the LLC. People don't really understand the LLC, because it's a little bit complicated. But they do understand how much money these guys are allowed to make on the outside. And that is where they are doing anything to avoid being punished. It's one thing to say, okay, we can fix it up so that we get all the money we need for campaigns. But it's another to say, oh, you know, I want to go and I want to have a job as a lawyer or a job as a consultant, and I want all the money in the world to come back to me. And they're not even talking about that one.
Well, there's some suggestion there'll be more bills proposed in the next few days.
Yeah, well, holding your breath.
Stay tuned, if you will.
Or hold your breath.
Yeah. We have to go to a break.
Correct.
So we're going to pause, and we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We have a lot of other topics to discuss. We'll talk about things beyond the borders of New York State. And welcome your letters as well. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We will return after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We have letters to get to. We'll get to those. And also, we will then move on and talk about some presidential politics as well. We welcome your letters, roundtable@WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, and Libby Post making up our panel this morning. And Alan, let's go to some of those letters.
Regular correspondent Michael says, does contributing to a governor's campaign automatically disqualify one from doing business with the state? Says Michael.
It doesn't, evidently.
Yeah. No, not really.
Buys you a ticket to the show, doesn't it?
And Jason says, is $1 billion in capital dollars in state contracts not enough money for bipartisan corruption? I would think it would be enough to line all of the politicians' pockets, but apparently the partisan bickering is one thing greater than corruption and greed, and that's from Jason. And then, let's see, Alan says, what's amazing to me is how little money it takes to curry political favor. Someone puts in $150,000 and gets $1.5 million back.
Well, that's
and
the
that's
thing.
Right on the money.
Yeah,
that's
that
exactly.
Is
really, that really wasn't that much money that they gave.
No, and when they were saying that the fundraiser was, what, $29,000 or whatever, I thought, well, that's not...
Well, but they're maxing out.
Oh, but by the way, it's always been so. I mean,
yeah,
you know...
Sure.
You, who could make an investment of $50,000 and get $1.5 million back for it and not say that was a good investment?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going on here.
It should be noted that a lot of these contractors give to both parties and often just give. You know, they're hit up a lot by everybody, and that's a bad system, but that's true.
Right. And Jay says, after that discussion about the blatant corruption within our state government, how can anyone question why Hillary Clinton is a weak candidate? She takes the money when she's running. She takes the money when she's not involved. But does it affect her? Can Cuomo say, well, by the way, she is now neck and neck with Trump in the polls. So something's affected her, right? Okay. Can Cuomo say the same thing? Just blame it on coincidence and get away with it? Is that where we're sadly at in America? Gregory says, same old in Albany. If you ain't got the do-re-mi, what do you got, three, don't you know? then you don't got nothing. This is so wrong. These politicians don't care about jobs or revitalization. All they care about is their pockets getting fat and staying in office. Let me answer that for a moment. I think that Andrew Cuomo, maybe because he lost in Buffalo, I believe, the first time out, wanted to...
Well, yes, because he was running against Carl Paladino.
Yeah, wanted to cement his relationship with Buffalo. He did the right thing. I know a guy in Buffalo who has a lot of money and is a very decent fellow, public-spirited fellow. And he thinks that Cuomo did great stuff for Buffalo. It's not that he tried to resuscitate the city. It's the fact that something is that there's a people suspect that that's how it also tended to fund his campaigns. And that's where the problem was.
Exactly. It's completely appropriate for the governor of the state to go into an economically downturned area and try to revitalize it. And he's doing the right thing. It's just that in the process of doing it, he's also getting a lot of campaign money, and campaign contributors are getting wealthy, according to this story in the New York Times.
Let's do another two or three letters, and then we'll move on to some other stuff.
Whatever you say, Joe. Jamie says, Alan, maybe WOMC should add a news segment at least through November called What Stupid Thing Did Donald Trump Say Today? The thought that the segment might continue for the next 4 years is too much for my brain to contemplate.
I think that's been our show for the last year, hasn't it?
Without large sums of bourbon. Too early for that. Yeah.
Like the bourbon idea.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's right. Thank you, Mike.
And Gene says, you people, in quote,
said the two Irishmen in the room.
You people are so cynical. Suppose I'm in business of building affordable housing because I believe it's a good thing, a contribution to society, while simultaneously earning money. Suppose there's an official who's philosophically aligned with my position. What's wrong with my making a contribution to that official in the belief their success will advance the area I'm interested in? Well, you know my feeling about that, which is, money in, money out. It's
the quid pro quo that you really want to avoid.
Well, and why I read that, the paragraph from the New York Times, that when Gene says you people are so cynical, my question is, when you read that, don't most people kind of raise an eyebrow and are a little cynical about it? I mean, I think that's the natural reaction.
And I think that's why people
Well, the you people may include everybody then.
Yeah. But I think that's why people are flocking to Trump and to Sanders, because they're done with it. They are cynical, and they want something different. And that's
Wait a second.
Exactly
Who's done with
happened.
It? Trump and Sanders?
The people are done with business as usual, and they want change. And so there are segments flocking to both sides.
Hey, Lib, you want to see business as usual? Elect Donald Trump president of the United States.
Oh, no kidding. I'm not saying that. But the thing is, his followers don't understand that. It's going to be business as usual to the 10th power.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay. And
one more and we'll go on to other stuff.
Okay. And then Joel gets a little off topic. We've had more than our fill of male or female or birth gender or individual identity in the government and the media's handling of the relative innocuous subject. We can understand how lawyers are salivating. Yeah. How lawyers are salivating over prospects of exploiting the subject, just as they have with their bread and butter personal injury ambulance chasing industry. Now, I'm going to read a little longer.
What's that about?
Once again, what?
What is that about?
I don't know. I think the
writer is suggesting that lawyers are anxious to take civil rights cases now that on transgender rights issues. That's all.
OK, so I'm moving ahead. Once again.
Yesterday?
Once again, our do it
out of left field. Actually. Mm-hmm.
Once again, yes, I said it was a little off topic. Once again, our do it our way or else geniuses in Washington are obvious to the cost benefit considerations in the pronouncements. Why isn't anyone smart enough to, A, remove men and women designations on restrooms? B, scrap all urinals? C, make all restrooms and dressing rooms unisex stalls? Accommodating every individual's quote needs all the time is impossible. Suck it up. JVBP.
All right.
Okay. Thought I'd read that to you. Okay.
To who? To me or to them?
Yeah, to you.
Thank you.
No, really, to everybody. Jane says, Alan says people don't understand the LLC loophole because it's, quote, complicated. This insults the intelligence of your listeners. A guest on the panel has just explained the loophole perfectly clearly, and that's from Jane, who is a lawyer and a mediator. Okay, Jane, I'm going to test the theory. I want you. Jane, I'm giving you an assignment to walk in front of the legislature, stand there, and ask the following question. Forget about the LLC, because that's complicated already. Ask who the lieutenant governor of New York State is and see what you get.
Well,
no, my point is, people don't know. squat
Well, you can ask them who their assembly and senators are.
But to
absolutely
to,
right
to prove your point of what you were saying earlier, though, it is complicated. The LLC loophole is complicated.
It is.
It's not, Mike did a fine job in explaining
trying
it.
Trying to simplify it.
But it's very, very complicated.
Yeah, it's complicated in the legal way.
Yeah.
But it's very simple.
It is.
People create limited liability corporations, and you can do it any day of the week, as many times as you want, to be able to give more money to candidates. That's basically all it is.
We weren't looking to insult the intelligence of our listeners. Right. I think we were just making, Alan was making the statement.
From a legal point of view, it is complicated.
I think all of this campaign finance stuff is very mired in
there's lots of
gook.
Loopholes behind,
yes.
besides the LLC.
Yeah. All right, so let's move to some other subjects we'll talk about. I found this article very interesting. So the GOP now looks and says, that was an interesting contest that we've had over the past several months. What do we do so that never, ever, ever happens again?
Yeah.
They are talking. Leaders of the Republican Party have begun internal deliberations over what would be fundamental changes to the way its presidential nominees are chosen, a recognition that the chaotic process that played out this year is seriously flawed and helped exacerbate tensions within the party. In a significant shift, Republican officials said it now seemed unlikely that the four states to vote first would all retain their cherished place on the electoral calendar, with Nevada as the most probable casualty. Party leaders are even going so far as to consider diluting the traditional states of Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina as gatekeepers to the presidency. Under one proposal, those states would be paired with others that voted on the same day as a way to give more voters a meaningful role much sooner. And there's one other thing. Okay, this is the one I wanted to get to. But in a move that would sharply limit who could participate in presidential primaries, many party activists are also pushing, and now this is where I mm-hmm. want you to give me your thoughts on this, are pushing to close Republican contests to independent voters, arguing that open primaries in some states allow Donald Trump, whose conservative convictions they deeply mistrust, to become the presumptive nominee.
Well, first of all, I know Libby will check in on this, and so will Mike, but my feeling is that every time you make a change like this, there are unintended consequences. Look, that's how you got the superdelegates in the mm-hmm. first place. All of the major elected officials in the United States, or many of them, were excluded from the great McGovern debacle based on the fact that Teddy Kennedy and his friends and other people who were elected by their constituents, by the way, couldn't have a presence at the convention. So you change it and you say, okay, from now on, if you're a congressman and you're elected, you get to go. And that was supposed to be a fix. Now the Bernieites are furious about the fact that this has helped Hillary Clinton, because the establishment does seem to be for Hillary, to be fair about this. So they want to make this change again and go back maybe to the pre-McGovern time when you had such a debacle for the Democratic Party.
Well, it is exactly as you say. It's the establishment of the Republican Party now, looking back at 2012, 2008, and the whole process,
sure.
and then looking at this debacle this year, and wanting to control it. And by limiting the primaries to only Republicans, that's one way to do it. You know, superdelegates was the Democrats' approach. You're right, that backfired somewhat. Maybe backfiring.
I don't know if it's backfiring.
It's kept Hillary way ahead of Bernie. Mm-hmm. And
I've been having a fight with both Libby and her colleague here, over the following issue, and that is, should people be allowed, as we are in Massachusetts, to vote in either primary?
No.
Now, you say no, and I say yes.
No.
And here's why. Because the primaries are effectively the way we choose our candidate.
Well, then join the party.
No. Well, why should you, Libby, why should you say, well, then join the party?
Well, why not?
Maybe because some people don't want to join the
then
party.
They shouldn't.
But since this is the way in which we pick
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm even sorrier than you're sorry.
Yeah, no. No. If you know, primaries are for Democrats or Republicans to choose their candidates.
Spoken like a true Hillaryite.
Well, give me a break, Alan, will you?
No,
enough already.
Absolutely
enough,
not.
As
well,
my mother used
Joe,
to say,
the other point.
No,
enough.
No. But, you know, if a primary
not
is
enough.
For a party to choose who their candidate's going to be, if you don't like the process, if you don't like the rules, register and get involved.
I've had
That's
my
really
say.
It.
I've had
You've
my say.
You always have your say.
What do you say
so
about
well,
Iowa?
Well, I'm so sorry. That's why I'm
okay,
here.
Okay, so for the second time I've asked this today, what are we arguing about?
No. The big argument here is whether or not, as in Massachusetts,
primaries
I can
be
unenrolled
okay.
and take a ballot in either primary, which I do. I have never taken a Republican ballot.
Yeah.
Okay. I always take a Democratic ballot because that's where I belong. Libby and Rosemary always make the point that there are some people, when you have a chance, will vote to mess up the other parties.
Well, that's
candidacy.
What kind of happened in the Republican primary. People who were not enrolled Republicans came out. You know, a lot of white middle class Democrats actually could cross over and in some of these states and vote for Donald Trump and are helping the Republican Party pick their candidate. And the Republicans are upset about it.
Look, you know. We know what this is. The Constitution basically doesn't say it, but because of the way it's set up, demands that you have two parties. And as long as you only have two parties, there will be a lot of people, and in this country, huge numbers of people, who don't wish to be Democrats or Republicans, but wish to vote in a primary, because the primary is where the decisions are made. That's where Libby and I are having this terrible, terrible fight.
Well, the other part of the story, Joe, that you referred to was de-emphasizing the disproportionate role that Iowa, South Carolina, maybe New Hampshire have in picking the candidate. A lot of really good candidates. This is the way the Republicans feel, and I think a lot of people have remorse about this now. A lot of good candidates were there early, and they're gone. And some people would want some of them back, but they got knocked out by a process that gave too much power to too few people. Like, you know, caucuses in Iowa got rid of a lot of people who might have turned out to
but
be better candidates.
We have been arguing as a culture and as a society about about the importance of these early states for decades.
Tradition is why we do it, I guess.
And, by the way, if you say to New Hampshire, you cannot have the earliest primary,
they'll
say, good, we're changing it.
Yeah, we moved that up
to the day before, the day after the last election.
Yeah,
and go, you know, fish, as we might say.
Remember, Florida tried to move theirs up, and both parties came down, right, and came down hard on them. You know, a few years back, you know, other states have talked about preempting New Hampshire and Iowa. It's a tough situation.
And I may get flack for this, but isn't one of the big reasons that New Hampshire wants it is the money, right? It's the tourism. It's the money that comes in as a
Iowa
result of
and,
it.
And New Hampshire make a lot of money from hotels.
Ads,
the press are over
right.
there. And then, of course, the TV ads.
TV ads.
It's a big influx into small states.
Right. So we got a lot of mail, most of it on Libby's side. Sorry, Alan. I agree with Libby. I don't want anyone but Democrats voting in my primaries. Okay. And then, and John says, the quickest way to build a true third party is for both the Republican and Democratic holding closed primaries. Independents are growing in this country. More and more are fed up with the establishment politics offered by Dems and GOP. I'll count that one for me.
Hello, John.
Bruce, he says, I, as a Democrat, registered for years, want only Democrats to choose which Democrat will run for office. And Bill says, the consequences for the Democrats of the superdelegate system were very much intended. A real liberal candidate was prevented from representing the Democratic Party. But Alan is right there, is right. There was an unintended consequence. The candidate most likely to beat the Republicans will not be nominated.
All right. Let's take a pause there.
Yeah, sure.
Because we have to go get underwriting or we have to give them the money back.
Yeah.
So let's do that. No. Let's do that. And we'll come back and we'll go right back into letters. We'll be right back after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Alacrity Frame Workshop, Lark Street, Albany, New York. Offering custom framing and new exhibits every first Friday, open 7 days a week, 518-915-1956. Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space, with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge and airport transportation, Facebook, Twitter, or albanymarriott.com. The Ashokan Center, presenting a Ukestravaganza. featuring six ukulele soloists playing jazz, Hawaiian, folk, blues, and rock on Saturday, May 28th at 8 p.m., where nature inspires, ashokencenter.org. And Preferred Mutual Insurance Company, offering home, auto, and business insurance products in New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire through an independent agent network, preferredmutual.com.
All right. We want to get to the other letters because, as Alan mentioned right before we went to a break, we have many, and we do want to get to those. Before we get to them, however, we have some really wonderful, amazing news about the lockbox that we want to share with you.
Oh boy!
First of all, I'll give part one of the good news, and then Alan can tell you about the second part of the good news. As of 9 o'clock this morning, our lockbox went over $200,000. Isn't that nice? Now, for those of you keeping score at home, we're trying to get to the $400,000 point before June 6th.
And it's moving faster and faster and faster and faster.
And it's the ball is rolling down the hill, right?
Faster and faster and faster.
Okay, so...
water's going out of the sink.
We're more than... Or the great...
What, the great?
You usually say whoosh.
Whoosh.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. $201,637.50.
Well,
so
that's
good. So we're more than halfway of the goal. Now, why is the goal important? Because we have one challenge on the table, and now comes the other good news.
We have a very good friend, good people from Pittsfield, Massachusetts. I know them well. They're great people. They're really nice people. They're extremely supportive of cultural institutions, including the Barrington Stage, for example. They say, okay, Alan, we hear you. We'll put an additional $5,000 in. So if you make this, there's another $10,000 on the line.
Because we have $5,000 from Tony Miola.
That's
now
right.
We have $5,000 from Anonymous from Pittsfield. So you put that together, it's $10,000. So if we were to make $400, that would bring us well over with $590 to go on the whole drive.
And always you have a way of saying things that puts everything into perspective.
So there's no timeline other than until the...
Before June 6th.
Oh,
before
yeah.
June 6th.
Right. So that's
which, by the way, is
it's
not
like
far
you
away.
Have to get $50,000 today.
No.
No, it's like a week. However, the one thing we do find in these things is that it goes faster and faster and faster. Mm-hmm. As people recognize that it's their radio station, they wake up with it. During the day, they listen to it, and then they write letters to it or they call in the Vox Pop or whatever.
Well, we've said this. If everyone who's ever written a letter to the roundtable panel.
So much a letter, so much down.
If anybody who's ever called into Vox Pop, if anyone who's called in to say that they love us or perhaps they hate us.
Yeah. But they're still listening.
If anyone does that and just puts something into the lockbox, we'd have this by the end of the day.
Do you remember the drive where somebody called up and said, here's 25 cents, that's what your radio station is worth? And then everybody who called in after that added 25 cents to whatever they were giving us.
It was a wonderful moment. A little annoying for data entry. But other than that, it was very nice.
Yeah, accountants didn't like it.
all those 25 cent checks.
Well, our thanks to Anonymous from Pittsfield for adding on to the challenge that brings it up to $10,000. So we really
$10,000—that's a lot of money. Try to put $10,020s in your wallet. Can't be done.
That's right. I've
can't
never,
be done.
I've never tried, but I have the opportunity.
I've tried many times.
Give it a shot, but I've never had that good a day at the track. So we have that going on. We have the vote package. You can find all of this information at wamc.org.
And you
wamc.org.
And you get this ink.
The vote package.
You get this
incredible. Look, it's a boy.
You get this incredible t-shirt.
You are all so lucky that you really aren't seeing what's going on here.
Incredible. Now, here is the t-shirt. It's black, with emblazoned and embalmed with white. And on the back of it, it has a giant check mark.
Is it embalmed?
No, it's not embalmed.
It's embossed.
No, right. Embalmed.
Embalmed.
It's screen printed if we want to.
Vote for WAMC. You see that, right. Mike?
Yeah.
Are you embarrassed to be here, Mike?
Not a bit.
No, because Roselle said to me the other day, you guys all have your ups and downs, but there is nobody nicer in this world than Mike. That's what she said.
No, it could be worse. It could be worse, Mike. You could have fruit on your head singing and dancing.
you get the T-shirt. You get the cup.
I'd like to see that, actually.
Your cuppeth runneth overeth.
Yes. Yes. So it's you can either get, well, you get both.
No, get both.
You get the mug, the convenient mug format, or the and the T-shirt. So,
such a deal.
Okay. Now, with all of, that, all of that,
already.
We need...
Enough already.
We have letters.
We have more letters. Let's get to those. Yes. Okay. Says Joni. Most of the TV stations that serve New Hampshire, the southeastern populated part anyway, are in Boston, which is where most of the New Hampshire primary ad money goes. Okay. And Anthony says, today we cherish... Today we cherish, not perish. Today we cherish the two-party system as a cornerstone of American democracy. The founders, however, viewed parties, or factions as they termed them, as monarchical vestiges that had no legitimate place in a true republic. Hamilton dreaded parties as the most fatal disease of popular governments and hoped America could dispense with such groups. And that's in quotes. It's from Ron Chernow. Okay, Libby is right, but it says lobby is right. If you want a choice, declare yourself and choose a party. You can always change your affiliation the next time. Sorry, Alan, Libby is right, and that's from Stephen. Okay, and then Jerry says, hi, to allow a member of another party to vote in another primary allows them to choose the weakest candidate. Seems pretty obvious to me. Okay, and Michael says, the primaries are paid for by taxpayer money, so why do the parties get make rules which exclude some voters? If the parties want to make up their own rules, the parties should pay for the primary voting process. And James says, I am a registered to vote. I'm registered independent because I don't like some of the money-grabbing tactics of the Democrats. Why do I have, in quote, in capital letters, to register for and support, in capital letters, the party just to have a say in the election of a person to be president? No, he says.
You get your say in November.
No, he says profoundly. No, he says profoundly. I agree with Alan. My choice is not worth anything, question mark. The problem with this plutocracy, that is the United States of America. And William says, you need Rosemary to calm things down.
And, by the way, we should mention, we're out of time, but we should just mention that Rosemary is away. She'll be back after the fun drive, and people have been asking, so we just want to let you know that
we did not fire her.
That's right. That's right. She is away doing good work,
right.
And she'll be back. Okay. Yeah. My thanks to everybody. Alan, Libby, Mike, thank you very much, and we will continue our program. And you go to the lockbox, wamc.org. You do what you can do. wamc.org. We'll be right back.
We really need you.